That's so exciting to be here. I just really am excited. And the reason for that is because I feel like I've met you ladies already. Through Sue's eyes, through her words, through her love, sharing about all of you, sharing about how much you love the Lord, all your deeds down here, not only in your fellowship, but in the community. When I was in India with her, I just heard her talk about you, and it was just like, okay, I feel like I know these ladies. And then on top of that, during that time, which was a year ago, fall of 2013, she was preparing for that retreat, your fall retreat. So when she'd come up to Boise for our meetings, because when we go to India, we have meetings way ahead of time to prepare us and to teach us how to be when we're over there. And so she would come up there, and then one week she said, I'm preparing for the fall retreat. Would you pray for the ladies? Would you pray for me? So way back then, ladies, I was praying for you. And so you see why I'm so excited to come tonight and meet you face to face. It's so special for me because of all that God set up beforehand. And then a month ago when she wrote to me about coming here to encourage you, I began praying for each one of you then that God would be so faithful to all of you to give me a word to help you know him better, to grow stronger in the Lord. And then when she wrote about could you come and give my ladies some encouragement? I love that word because I'm a big one. I've needed encouragement. I love to give encouragement, and I thought everyone needs encouragement. How wise Sue is to know that we all at one time or other, and a lot of times for me, needed encouragement. And I'm so happy to be here and then give and to share that. But the big thing that the Lord did for all of us was in my devotions after that, she sent an email. And the next, well, I don't think it was the next day, but the next day in my own devotional time with the Lord, I was in Romans, starting in Romans, and it just was so exciting, and I'm going to talk more about it later, Romans, but I just want to share this to start with because it'll get you excited that God had planned this for us because he gave me this that morning from Romans 1. I'm going to read all of, you know, like 8 and 12, but I just want to read 12 to you. And, of course, you all know this is from Paul to the Romans, but I feel like this is for us, me and you. And here's what he said. I come to you that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us being encouraged by the other's faith, both yours and mine. Was that so perfect? It was so perfect. And then Paul goes on to tell us how to be encouraged. So to begin, I just want to tell you my story. And my story is about an older woman that really, really gave me a word into my life and encouraged me that changed my life when I was a young girl. I am from Jeanette, Pennsylvania, a little town in Pennsylvania. Born and raised there. My mom and dad had five girls. I was the last one. And so two of them died, though, as babies, and so we had three of us. I have a sister 10 years older and then a sister 5 years older. And in that town, we went to the Little Methodist Church faithfully every week. My grandma and grandpap went there. My mom and dad went there. We went there, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, youth group. And so when I was 13, we had a little, we had a missionary ladies society there. And in those days, they actually made things and sent to the missionaries. You probably heard stories about that, how women at church used to so-and-so-and-so and send things for the missionaries. But every year they sent two young girls to missionary week at camp. We had a wonderful camp there. It was about 2 hours from me, Uniontown, Pennsylvania, in the mountains with a big cross. If you've ever been to Boise, that cross up on Table Rock, that's, we had a cross like that where I went to church camp. Beautiful. You could see it everywhere. And so they asked if they would pay for us to go there, which helped for my family. And I said, yes, I'd go. And they asked another girl. Her name was Diane. And I knew Diane because, of course, her family had gone to that church for all those years. And she was in youth group with me. So we went up to that church, Kim. I don't remember a lot about what happened that week, but the normal thing at camp was that in the morning we always went to the chapel and there was a teaching, and then in the afternoon, after lunch, there were crafts and swimming and, you know, the normal things that you probably all did if you got to go to camp. And so we went through that week like that, but then Friday night, that was the night before we left, and all the teachers we had were missionaries that week, and most of them, I would think, were retired from the mission field and back. And then when I said that, or thinking that, I thought, well, maybe some were home on sabbatical. But they were older ladies, of course, to me, probably they were younger than me then. But to me, they were older ladies. And so that night, Friday night, we had an older missionary woman get up, and she taught. Don't remember a thing she talked about. But after she taught, she said, she presented the gospel to us. And of course, you know, being in a church all those years, I knew about God and I knew about Jesus. I knew Jesus died on the cross because every Easter, we'd have that movie. Can you imagine? Even 60 years ago, they had a movie on Jesus being crucified, and we'd watch that movie Thursday before Easter all my life. Same movie. And then Friday, you know, in my little town, this is how little the town was, but then this was how long ago, everything closed between 1 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we all went to our little churches, wherever, and had services on Friday. So I knew all that. But that night, this woman, when she gave the gospel, the first thing that she said that was new to me, and this is how she said it. She said, if you or you or you were the only person here, Jesus would have still went to that cross for you. No one ever told me how personal it was, how special I was, that he'd do it for me. And the second thing she did that evening was read to us John 3:16, and she read it right from the Word, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then she said, now, girls, I want you to say that with me, and I want you to put your name in it. We're all going to say it together, but you're going to put your own name in it. And she said it with her name in it so we'd understand. So all together, and I prayed, for God so loved Carol that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Carol would believe in him, Carol would not perish but have everlasting life. For a 13-year-old girl, that was pretty special, because I'd been in church, Sunday school, youth group, but no one had told me that he did it just for me. And that touched my heart so much. And then, of course, you know, she said, if you want to pray, put your hand up. Put my hand up. And then she said, you know, come down front. And I went down front. Diane did not go, the friend that came with me. But other girls went. So, I mean, I wasn't the only one down there. And so then we prayed the prayer to receive Jesus. It was very special, but then it was over. And then we went back over to we had like a little ice cream shop, where after service, then you could hang out a little bit and visit, and then when time to go to your cabin, and then time for lights out. And in my cabin, I was a small room and had two bunk beds, two girls on this wall from another church, and then Diane was on the bottom bunk bed. I was on the top bunk bed. And when we're getting all settled in walks this missionary woman. You know, just think, oh. And she goes by this bunk bed on this side, ladies, and she says, good evening, girls. And they said, hi. And then she comes over, and she says, Diane's in the bottom. She said, hi. And Diane said, hi. And she comes up to my bed. Now, you tell me 60 years later, I still wonder, how would she know which one of us accepted down there? I mean, it was not a lot, but enough. So somewhere in my little life, I got the idea, I bet she just came for me. I bet God just sent her to me, and he may have. because she gave me such a gift that night, she came over to the bed and she said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Carol." And she said, "Carol, do you know what you did tonight?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I knew. As a 13-year-old girl, I knew." And I told her, I said, "I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I asked him to forgive my sins. I asked the Holy Spirit to come live with me so that I could be a good girl," or whatever. You know, I know I didn't, you know, whatever I said, but I knew what I had done. And she, I don't know where my hands were or anything, but I can remember her putting her hand on my hand, looking me right in the eye, and she said, "Carol," this is, it still touches me. She said, "Carol, Jesus wants to be your best friend." A gift like that I've never received since. This lady coming to me and giving me that kind of encouragement, a skinny, scrawny, plain little girl with this long straight hair, buck teeth out to here, which we didn't have money yet for me to get braces. That meant so much to me. I just can't even tell you how much that meant to me. That just that word of encouragement, and then she was gone. And I was left with a best friend. I took that so literally because I didn't have a best friend. You know, I had lots of friends, but I didn't have a best friend. Like Diane, who had come with me, her best friend was Connie, because they lived in a duplex next to each other. And they lived up here, you know. And then there was Sally and Carolyn lived across the street, and they were best friends. And Gretchen and Karen, see, that's how important it was to me. I remember them all. And you know, I just didn't have a best friend like that because I lived downtown. Everybody else lived kind of up here, but we did not have a car. My mom and dad rented all their life, and so we had this little house right downtown Jeanette behind the main street because Daddy worked in the glass. He was a laborer in the glass factory, so he could walk to work. Mom could walk for groceries. We walked to church, walked to school. And we had a boy on that street, a teenager, but he was older than me. And I didn't have a best friend down there. I had friends because I was in Girl Scouts, and you know how you have all those friends. I was working hard to be a, you know, like for Boy Scouts, like a, what were they? Eagle Scout, but in girls it was called Curb Bar. So I had those friends, and I had friends at youth group because I was active. I was a majorette in junior high. I had friends, but I never had a best friend, and I wanted a best friend, and now I had a best friend. And I took that so to heart. Because I talked to him just like I wanted to talk to a best friend, just told him everything. I talked out loud to him because, you know, I didn't know any better. He was my friend. You talked to him, and it was just so special. And so that was a gift of encouragement that that woman gave me, and that's why I love when people ask me, like when Sue asked me and mentioned encouragement, I was just, it just touched my heart to be able to come tonight and share encouragement with you because it meant so much to me as a little girl, and it has all my life. And I just never dreamed that I would leave Jeanette, Pennsylvania. My two sisters didn't. They married, they had children, and they lived in Jeanette. I did want to be a nurse with all my heart, but everyone told me for years I would never be a nurse because my parents didn't have the money to send me to school, and my sisters didn't get to go on to school, but I knew I wanted to be a nurse so bad, and I just thought I'd be a nurse and go back to Jeanette, and they didn't even have a hospital there, but we had one not, you know, in another little community, and that was just a working of the Lord that I just was a candy striper. Asked those nurses, "How do you go to be a nurse if you don't have money to be a nurse?" And they said, or if your family didn't have money, and they said, "Well, just go fill an application. They do help people sometime." So I got it in my little head that because I was candy striper there for all those years, of course they would help me be a nurse. So I filled out the application. But someone told me there was a hospital a little further, so I took a bus up there and asked if I could fill out an application up there, and they said, "Well, really, you could, but we only give help financially to girls that graduate from Latrobe High School." But I did it anyway because I wanted it so bad. And that's another story, but the hospital where I was, a candy striper, sent me a letter and said that they did not accept me or help me to go. Not that they didn't accept me. I was accepted, but they couldn't help me. But Latrobe sent me a letter and said that I was selected, and I didn't go to Latrobe High School. And, of course, years later, I figured out or thought maybe my mom's landlady had a brother that was a doctor there. Thank you. I wanted to do that, and I forgot. So even back then, God had such a hand on my life. But I still expected that I would come back to little Jeanette because I was such a homebody, such a mommy's girl. Then I met Mr. Wonderful in college, and he decided it was Vietnam, and he was graduating early, and he decided if he didn't go after college, he would be enlisted. And so even in then, I thought, back then, people went away to the military, and then they came home. Back home. He wasn't from my town, but in Pennsylvania. And so anyway, we were married, and I went thinking we were always getting about 27 years later, when he retired, we still had never gotten back to Jeanette to visit, but never to live. And now 51 years later, Sunday will be 51 years, we still never got back to Jeanette to live. But God was good because he gave me that as a young girl, and I needed a best friend when we traveled. In 27 years, we moved 19 times. And that was a lot of moving, a lot of making new friends. And I, no matter where we were going to go, guess what? My best friend was going to be there. And that helped me so much. Frank traveled a lot. I was alone a lot, but I always had my best friend. So that's how my encouragement started. So let's pray before we get into the word. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much for how you do encourage us in so many different ways that sometimes we don't even realize it. And we thank you that you encouraged each woman to come here tonight. She may have thought, well, I think I'll just decide to go, but truly, you drew her to this place because you wanted her here tonight. Thank you for this opportunity for me. Holy Spirit, thank you that you were here before any of us got here, even the people that were preparing, just waiting for us to come so you could speak into our hearts and mind tonight what you have for us, what you have for us in your word. So we just thank you for that, and we're excited to see what you want to do here in this place tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I looked up encouragement in the Bible dictionary. I'm sure it says the same in the regular dictionary, but a lot of you might know what that means. It just says to strengthen. To encourage someone is to strengthen them. But the kind of encouragement we want to talk about tonight is the biblical encouragement. But even without even thinking of that, we all know the world doesn't give much word of encouragement out there. Not to us, not to our husbands, not to our children. It's a rough place out there. So it's nice to be talking about biblical encouragement tonight. And we all know that it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't come there. It has to be cultivated through our wanting to have a relationship with the Lord that allows us to want to share what he gives us to other people. And it also comes from growing in the Lord, where we're seeing what God wants to do, not only in our lives, but in lives of our, especially tonight, we're going to talk to women in our sisters in Christ. So it's really a place for encouragement, and just as we know how faithful God is, that he just doesn't say, this is what you should be doing, without explaining to us how to do it. And Paul was a big encourager, as you know, as you've read him. And a couple places, he actually just gives us, this is how you be an encouragement. So I want to go through some of those tonight because it's so clear and it's so, just shows the faithfulness of God to encourage us in how to be encouragers, which he's calling us all to be. So we're going to go back to Romans, and this time I'm going to read the whole 8 to 12 because It's so specific. Paul is so specific. So verse 8, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world." And ladies, a good example of that is I was so encouraged when Sue shared way back a year and a half ago about you women, what you were doing here, how much you love the Lord, how he was using you in this little community. And that was an encouragement to me. And so I understood when Paul was saying that he was so thankful because he had heard and their works were being told. And literally, because Sue talked about you in India, we can actually say this about you. Your faith is being proclaimed throughout the world. You ladies in Calvary Chapel, Ontario. And that's exciting, and that excited me when I saw how God was putting that together. Verse 9, Paul says, "For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayer." And real encouragement comes from prayer. You know, we need to pray for a heart that's open to what other people need, to what encouragement our sisters need or our husbands need or our children need. And I believe that that comes from our prayer time when we ask him to show us who needs a word today, or give me words today to share with people. Verse 11, I'm not going to start at 10, but it says, and this is Paul, and, you know, a saying, but to us too, "I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established." Mine says established, but in some of the other translations, it actually says, "so that you may grow strong in the Lord." And there's that word again, strong, to strengthen. Encouragement strengthens our sisters in Christ. And it's with our gifts that we can do that. God has given us all gifts. When we received him as the Holy Spirit, as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes, and he comes with the gifts of the Spirit. They're there, ladies. He wants us to use them. And as we ask him, he'll use our gifts in other people's lives, and he'll use their gifts in our lives when we're open to receiving that. So that's a big part of learning how to be an encourager by using the gifts he's already given you. And then the one I read already, 12, is that I may be encouraged. I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us being encouraged by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And encouragement is a giving and a receiving. We need, it's like anything else that God gives us. You know, the more we give, the more he fills, and we receive more. The more gifts you're using, then he'll give you more gifts. You know how the scripture says, "You who are faithful in little will receive much." And that's so true. And as we use those for other people, it really makes a difference in our own lives. Because encouragement makes us all feel strengthened. Again, there's that word. It means strengthened. But when you're encouraged, it strengthens your faith. It empowers you, because it's, you know, to hear a word from someone or a scripture that someone shares makes such a difference in our life. And often a word of encouragement at the right time can make a difference to someone finishing the race or collapsing during the race. And we all have races in our life. We all have, life is hard. Life is hard. I teach a group at Calvary Chapel Boise. It's called Moms Refresher, because they're all young moms with little children. And when I say things like that, often I'll say, "You know, I know life is hard, girls." Or I'll say, "Marriage is hard. Married 51 years, took a lot of work, a lot of prayer, as you can imagine." And sometimes the girls will say, "Oh, Carol, don't say that. We don't want to hear that." but it's tough. And we need to pray to be sensitive to those around us that need encouragement or a word or an action. Encouragement can be an action. You know, I told you I moved so many times, and one of the hardest was after we had teenagers. Frank had gone to Vietnam, had that over. He traveled an awful lot when we lived in Turkey and Greece. I was alone a lot with the children in a foreign country. So by the time we got to California, we kind of thought it was over. And then they actually called him at home, which usually didn't happen, and I could hear him say, yes, sir, well, if you think so, you know. And he got off the phone, and he said, they're going to send me to Korea. And I had a 13-year-old teenager that adored her dad and needed her dad, and I had a 9-year-old boy who really needed a dad, and I thought, you know, this is not a good thing. Not a good thing. But anyway, When we were in a small group, and I had a study in my home, and we were very active in the chapel. I mean, it just like, this isn't right. I don't want to leave all this. But a friend of ours, it was really a good friend of mine, and her husband made me a plaque, and they brought it down about during that week because everybody knew. It was such a surprise to us. And he had made the Romans 8:28 on a plaque for me. You know, God can work all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You know, I opened it and I appreciated it, but I sure couldn't see how he was going to use this for good. For my husband to be in Korea and me to be somewhere else with the children. But that was an encouragement. That was an action he did. And when that was in my kitchen, and they told us he'd be gone for 12 months, which probably was the Lord, because that was a blessing. He was gone 15. That would have sounded impossible at the time. But that was in my kitchen, and what an encouragement to see that every day, thinking, okay, I just need to believe that he's going to work all this together for good. Because I do love him. He knows I love him. I know I've been called according to his purpose. And it, you know, it was really an encouragement. So even something like that can make such a difference. You know, we know encouragement is not simply a kind word. It's not just a verbal nicety. I mean, we see them, we hear them, and it's certainly the biblical encouragement we're talking about is not that pride-building flattery that us ladies are real, and me too, are very easily to give. But the kind of encouragement we're talking about is a biblical-based truth spoken into someone's life at the right time, at the right place. And again, Paul talks about that and explains how to do that better in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 to 14. So I want to go there and read that to you, a little couple verses. And in there, here's Paul telling us, therefore, ladies, instead of brethren, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are also doing. Do you love how he does give them a nice little word there? He says, you're already doing it, but I want to encourage you to do it more. I want you to build each other up. And that's a really a way to do that for us ladies with our sisters in Christ, with our husbands, is to just point out something that you see in someone's life. You know, just a quality, something that you appreciate in them. We don't hear that a lot. You know, we just don't take the time to look for what God's doing in someone's life. You know I've been guilty of that a lot in my own husband, because I have my agenda of what how he should be doing it, what he should be doing, but I forget to look what God is already doing, and it might not be what the way I would think, but he's doing it, and I need to look for that, and I need to appreciate that in him and tell him I appreciate it when I see it. In 12 and 13 is really strong from Paul, talking to them, talking to us. We request of you, sisters, he says, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instructions, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And this is a biggie for all of us because, again, moving those so many times means that I was in 22 different churches, 22 different Bible studies, 22 different women's ministry groups. And I really saw a lot of damage that women can do because of not appreciating the leaders, or appreciating the pastor, or appreciating the pastor's wife, of being critical instead of trying to encourage. And I think Paul's reminding us here, we need to say thank you to our leaders, whether it's in your women's ministry, it's your Bible study, if it's your pastor's wife or your pastor. We need to be conscious of giving them a good word of thank you, or an encouragement to keep, you're doing a great job, keep it up. And the same as we need to do with each other. We need to remember to do that with our leaders. So many times in those churches, so many different churches, and a lot of times there were other military wives in there, and you know, we would want to say, well, they didn't do it at that church where I just came from, you know. It wasn't like this there, you know. That's criticism. I just have to admit that, you know, I was right there with everybody, and it's very subtle. The enemy is very subtle. You don't realize that that's not what the Lord would have us do. And then in verse 14, Paul tells them, encourage the faint-hearted. You know, the faint-hearted, the shy, the timid. And again, I saw that, and I needed that a lot. When you feel how many times I changed fellowships or, you know, ministries. And I want to make it clear, it wasn't because we were church hopping. This was a real move to another state, and we had all those churches. But I would go. You know, I'd have to go by myself. And it was nothing nicer than someone to come alongside and say hi and introduce themselves, say, come sit with us. Because again, I know some of those churches were so hard where the women already had their group, and they would say hi and be nice, but we have our group. Sorry, we have our little group or cliques, and that's hard. So we need to be aware of that, us that have been in churches for a long time, and realize that. And a wonderful, I mean, it was just sort of a confirmation, I think, that when I walked in today, the second time, Sue met me the first time at the door, but then she showed me where the ladies' room was. And so I came in, and somebody was at the door, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was. Who was it? Welcome. She's shy. Yeah. anyway, she didn't know who I was. I didn't have a name tag or anything. And she, you know, she said, wow, hi. And we're so glad to have you. And I said, oh, thank you. I'm Carol. And she told me her name and I forgot already. What is it?
Kathy.
And so I was just, you know, coming to walk in. She said, oh, Carol, do you have someone to sit with? Is that beautiful? That's what he's talking about. That's what the Lord's talking about. It's just really special. And so I just, you know, he just makes it so clear about the steps of trying to be an encourager. But I just want to take a minute. I know I don't have a lot more time. But just, I thought it would be fun for some of you to just tell me, why do you think as women we aren't more encouragers? Not only to other women, but, you know, wherever we are. But does anybody want to be brave enough? We'll encourage the shy to speak out. Just, yeah. That's a good way to put it. Anybody else?
Fear.
You don't have to put your hand up. Just say it.
Fear.
What else? Anybody else? Pardon me?
Well, being perfectionists, I think maybe we don't think we're making other people, you know, be perfect, but we're so focused on our own imperfections.
And for me, a big thing was I myself was so insecure. And because of my own insecurities, my own inadequacies, I kind of, you know, put it out there, not being real nice when I should have been a lot of times. And I was just telling Sue that we're doing in our Mom's Refresher, this little class, it's a book called No Perfect Moms. It's just a fabulous book that we're doing. If any of you are young moms, she's so good, Jill Savage. But anyway, a big thing she keeps reminding us all is do not compare somebody's outsides to your insides, because you have no idea what's going on inside. We might look all together, so all together. And that happened to me this morning at prayer at church. We were in a group. We were supposed to pray for each other. They asked me, and I said, well, you know, I'm speaking tonight. I would appreciate prayer. And she said, oh, you have it so together. Well, I want to tell you I don't, so I need prayer. And, I mean, that's how we do it, isn't it? And I think it's like she said, so many times we're so self-focused that we forget to look out and see how God's working. The next one is a big one for me. It was, and God had to really pound it on me because I was very bad with this. It's from Ephesians, and he tells us, again, Paul, let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, you couldn't be any more clear than that. And he tried for years. Of course, back then I knew the translation that said, you know, I knew it. you know, the one from the King James that said, let your words be... Oh, somebody help me. Well, one. Well, no, it's from Ephesians 4. Somebody look it up real quick before I get it. But I knew it that way, so, you know, I keep thinking, well, it was just harder to understand, Lord, in there as it is in this translation. But it was 429, let me see. Oh, yeah, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only a word that is good for edification and the good for those who hear it, you know. But this, you can't hide what he's saying here. It's pretty clear, you know, let everything you say. And, you know, my mom was good at that, and I wish I'd have learned it as a teenager when she used to say that to me, because you know how you come home as a teenager, or your teenagers come home, you know, talk about the girls and talk about, and she'd say, Carol, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. So there, the Lord was giving it to me that young, and it took me till I was way old to really do it. Do it. I mean, who doesn't like to be encouraged? We all want to be encouraged. I don't think any of us would refuse if someone wanted to speak a word into our life, a truth from God's word, either a scripture, or just a word, or just a, you know, a good word of them seeing something in you they like. And so I think we'd all agree. Do you think we know anybody that would not receive a word of encouragement? Do you? Do you think? So there, ladies, say it, write it, and you know you're blessed now because I'm a big card sender, and you could write to people encouragement, but now all you have to do is go to your bookstore out here, and there's a whole thing that says encouragement cards, and all you do is make a little note or just sign your name, type it, send an email of encouragement, teach it, live it. Live it in front of your children. Teach it to your children to be good encouragers. And a lot of you, you know, might be saying, and somebody said it today about fear. One of you said fear, and that's a true because, you know, you think, I wouldn't know what to say. I don't know who to say it to. I wouldn't know how to go about it. But I tell you what James tells us in 4:12. You have not because you ask not, ladies. Just ask him. All he wants is your availability, and he'll do the rest, you know. And another scripture that meant a lot to me was in Jeremiah 33:3. I call it God's telephone number because I tell my girls, he'll never be too busy. He won't put you on hold, and he won't say, I'll call you back, because he says, call me. Call on me. I mean, that's personal. Call on me, Carol. Call on me, Sue. And then his promise is, I will answer you. He will answer. He says that. His word is yea and amen. When he says it, he means it, and that settles it. And then the rest of that promise is, I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. And how many of us, is there anybody in this room that there's not things that you need to know? And he's asking us, just ask him. Really just ask him. Another word that he impressed on me all these years that I took literally, just like I did as that little girl when she told me Jesus was my best friend, is that when I started having trouble, when, because Frank was gone so long at times in another country, I had no telephone, no TV, no radio, couldn't call my mom. I read Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so it just came to me why at night when I'm on my knees crying, whining and complaining, God, this isn't working. I don't know if I can do this again tomorrow by myself with you kids in this country. And, I think if it was Wednesday night, the plane comes tomorrow. The plane only came to Anchorage one day a week that you could leave. But his mercies were new every morning. But I learned to take that so seriously that he would speak, you know, when I'd be at night just apart, a mess. And it would come to me that, well, maybe if I'd asked in the morning, I might have had a better day. And so that's when I started thinking, you need to get up and meet him in the morning. And I always wanted to, and sometimes I would have devotion, you know, through the day. But I realized I needed to do it first. And to this day, I still have to remind myself I need to do it first before I talk to Frank, because I don't know if you're like me, but at night you think of all these things. He gets out of bed, and I'm started. And so I think, nope, go and meet with God first. But back then, it was so important to me. It wasn't easy, because like I say, we lived in a crazy place in Turkey, sixth floor, but we still had rats as big as cats and roaches. And so when I'd go out there, I'd turn the light like this, and I wouldn't look and give them all time to get out of there. So I wouldn't remember how bad it was. But anyway, and I would literally have to say, and I should be embarrassed to tell you, but I'm old, and by this time you just say, well, doesn't matter. I would say, Carol, your best friend is out there waiting for you. Get out of bed and go meet him. And you know, if you were out there waiting for me, if Sue was out there waiting for me, would I not be out there with her? Yes, I would. And it just came to me that I needed to be out there. And I just needed to do that, and I would, you know, do that. And sometimes when things got really bad, when I'd have my cup of tea, I actually would put a cup and saucer across the table, you know. I was just very visual. I knew he was there. You know, we know he's there. The word says he's there. He'll never leave us, forsake us. I just needed that. I needed to say, okay, Jesus, there's your cup. And it just really encourages me. And so I just love that scripture. I want you to remember that about meeting him in the morning. And then you can ask for him to guide. You know, he says steps of righteous women are ordered by him. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. But again, we need to ask. We need to spend time with him in his word, hearing from him through his word. And again, just be available. So as the new year starts here, my prayer for you is that you would just consider this word from the Lord tonight. Take it to your heart. Because I counsel, I often tell the ladies, you know, receive from people. It might not mean that's what you have to do, or, you know, that's what the Lord has. Just receive what people share, and then take it to the Lord and ask him, is this for me? Is this a word for me, or is this a direction for me? Because we wanna be encouragers, because he's calling us to do that. He's given us instructions. There's a lot more in here on encouragement, as you might know. But I just wanted to share those with you tonight and encourage you to read his word and to listen. He's always speaking, Lord. I mean, ladies, the Lord is always speaking to us. I found my problem was I wasn't listening. I wasn't taking that time to sit before him and hear. So as we close, or as I close tonight, I want to pray, and I'd love to pray the word for you. I pray the word a lot with people's name in mine, big time, my husband's, my children. And I just want to pray this word over you today because it is on encouragement, and it's from Colossians this time, Colossians 2:2-4. So let's pray. Father, I'm just so thankful that you just shared your word with us tonight, that you opened it up, and I know you still have more for these ladies as they sit before you and consider these scriptures and consider your word, Father, and we thank you for that. And tonight as I leave, Lord, I especially want to pray your word over these ladies, and I pray that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that we need, in Jesus' name.